Every day on Road Rage.
Gets me home.
The Roar, where every day is game day.
Walt Deptula, Road Rage. I'm sorry. I looked up. I'm trying to figure out what was going on there. Did the catcher get knocked out of the game on a warm-up pitch?
Oh, no. I don't know.
The catcher was... I don't know what happened. The catcher was... It appeared during a warm-up pitch situation that... The catcher was laying flat on his back.
I don't know. I didn't see.
It didn't seem good for him. And
no.
It looked like they might have had to go to a different catcher. I don't know. I don't know what just happened. I missed it. All the excitement.
The excitement.
Yes.
And we missed it.
That's right. And you had to wait a while for the excitement. But
yeah, we did.
But yeah. Well, this kid looks serious. Look, he's got the lid pulled down. Can't see his eyes. Yeah, this kid's serious.
He means business. Yeah,
he does. He does. Bengal John on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line. John, how are you, John? Good to have you.
I'm good, Walt. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I'm going to have a wonderful weekend.
Same
coming
to
up.
You, John.
Walt, I've got a couple of questions, and you can help me with this. So,
by the way, John, not to interrupt, but in the event that you do decide. And I'm just going to keep this on as much on the down low as I can by saying this. In the event that you do decide to make that particular item that we've spoken about available for auction, I already have people who want to bid on it.
Okay. Did you see the new one when you were working with Sam?
I think I saw photos of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty All incredible.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And I'll send them to you again if you have
yeah.
it. But yes, I'm still willing to do that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Walt, Lane mentioned, and he talked extensively about this, you know, as much football as I watch, I really wasn't privy or familiar with it. He talked about the green dot.
Yeah.
He talked about why we've been so successful. There was a reporter that was in the press conference talking about number of first downs, number of plays being run, so on and so forth. Those statistics, they're number one in this, number one in that. And I can't quote all that. But one of the things that he says has been an advantage for him, and then I listened to Charlie Weiss today, is that the green dot shuts off 15 minutes before the play clock, or 15 seconds before the play clock stops. And what Lane's offense, according to him, has been able to do is we've been able to do all of our talking prior to that 15 seconds. That's the reason why you see us snap the ball a lot earlier in the play clock rather than other teams, which gives us an advantage on defensive adjustments against the offense.
Well, that's interesting.
So he talked extensively about that. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing he talked about, which I found very, very interesting and I'm not familiar with, he said his offense is based off of the Briles offense.
Yeah.
I would like, if you would, elaborate on that, because Weiss, after Kiffin's press conference, Weiss said we will spread the field. We will literally stretch the field.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that is based off the Briles offense,
yeah.
But a lot of it is also based off of the tempo and the scheme that we run.
Yeah.
So how do those two correlate, if
well,
you don't mind?
Well, from a, you know, even Tennessee has always run under Heupel has run a derivative of the Briles offense. I think it makes sense to run the Briles offense. I mean, Briles believed in spreading you out to a greater degree than anybody I've ever seen. I mean, he put receivers on the sideline. I mean, he was going to make you defend every single yard of the football field. They'd use wide splits in the offensive linemen. But the part of the Browns offense that people just never fully grasped was their commitment to running the ball. They would spread you out so much so that they would go against
that
light.
You couldn't get to the
right
runner,
light boxes, and then they would attack you with the run game. And they did this repeatedly. And one of the great examples of this was that when they played North Carolina one year in a bowl game, I don't remember what year that was, but they played North Carolina in a bowl game, and they were without all of their quarterbacks. So they basically played a backup receiver at quarterback, and all they did is run the ball, and they rushed for like 700 yards in the game against North Carolina. North Carolina couldn't stop any of it. And so that's the part of Art Briles. Listen, Art Briles, what happened under his watch, again, I can't get into degree of blame. I don't know. But it seems like he shoulders a lot of the blame for everything that happened, as he should. And I'm not saying he accepts blame. I'm saying that it was rightfully adjudicated where he was concerned, because horrible things happen. But in terms of the mind of that guy, he's one of the greatest offensive minds I've ever seen.
Okay. All right. So my last question is this. Charlie Weiss Jr. talked about his dad winning Super Bowls, also talked about him getting fired from Notre Dame. But he said a lot of what he does now, obviously, is based on his dad's teachings. He talked about having a decoy on offense. Well, I understand the word decoy. It's basically a fake, just like a fake duck, right? I understand what decoy is. But how is he utilizing this decoy? And I'm sure that's really in-depth. But he said, we use a lot of decoy packages, or what we call, smoke screen packages to confuse. I don't know how in-depth that is, but apparently they do a lot of it, and his dad did a lot of it.
Yeah, I think it all falls under the category of window dressing and just putting a lot on the plate of the opposing defensive coordinator. In terms of
motions?
Yeah.
Is it motions?
Yeah, it's all of that. I don't think that, I don't know how much of what he does came directly from his dad. I don't know how to say this. I think Charlie Weiss was always vastly overrated. And I think I think Charlie Weiss to this day thinks he's a genius. Remember, I don't know if people remember this, but when Charlie Weiss went to Notre Dame, he publicly said these kinds of things. I don't remember the exact quotes, but the gist of it was, no one else has any chance because I'm way smarter than everybody else. I'm an NFL genius, and no college coach has any chance against me. And obviously, he just sucked, and then summarily was dismissed. But he still talks, and he still, when he's on radio, he talks about Tommy, talking about Brady, and he likes to sort of semi credit himself for Brady, and he calls him Tommy all the time. Now, I know he doesn't mean that in a disrespectful way, but it just sounds ridiculous to me because he had nothing to do with Brady's success. Absolutely nothing. I mean, it was the exact opposite way. Brady made him a name that he wasn't worthy of. So I don't know how much Weiss Jr. really takes from his dad. I think that's more lip service.
I want to ask one final question, Walt. I think this is really, really interesting, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about spreading the field and having the defense have to cover every inch, every yard, all of that, when you're more tight from the offensive standpoint and you're not so spread out, doesn't that give you somewhat of an advantage to create the running game, which you're talking about?
It can, John, but it depends on the nature of your offense. In Browse's case, he was doing everything. And so you had to defend all elements of it. But the main point there was he wasn't just spreading you to throw the ball. He was spreading you to lighten the box and be able to do what he wanted.
Okay.
You know, and
okay.
So it left him complete flexibility to do whatever you want. Now, there have been some offenses, and actually the Rams have done some of this stuff, where they operate out of tight formations and they still effectively pass the ball. So, you know, you can, there's more than one way to do it. But when Briles was at the height of his powers at Baylor, that offense, no matter who was playing, was literally unstoppable. I mean, just unstoppable as a machine.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm interested to see it this year. You know, you watch a football game and you try to, you know, dissect a lot of the stuff that you're familiar with, and then all of a sudden, you know, you see something going on that you probably didn't recognize. You don't. But as us lay people, I mean, you watch a ball game and you go, well, that was a great play.
Yeah.
But when you get down to it, why was it a great play,
yeah,
right? So that was what was interesting to me about what they were talking about today. But yeah, Walt, I will I'll get in touch with you, or you can get in touch with me.
Sounds
and we'll discuss
good, John.
That further.
That's awesome.
Thank you,
John. All right, we have lots to get to. I have no idea where the show's going, Ramona. It feels like we just started, except that we're insanely hungry.
I'm hungry now.
We don't get our donuts anymore, Ramona. I must have said something wrong. Either that or John's in the lockup or something. I don't know. I hope he's well, seriously. All right, Ramona, we have to get to the rest of the win totals. Did you give – let's run them back from the top, all right, because we've had win total interrupt. We've had win total interrupt us numerous times, sir.
Who interrupted us? You.
I don't know.
Okay. Syracuse over 4.5 plus 105.
Yes.
And over 5.5 plus 260.
Yes, so two plays on Syracuse.
Mississippi State over
4.5. Man, I got to say, I love that over 5.5 plus 260. That's a big-time payout right there, and I think it's going to happen.
Mississippi State over 4.5 minus 110.
Okay.
Oklahoma over 7.5 minus 162.
Yeah, steep price, but I'm okay with that.
North Carolina or under 4.5 minus 105 and under 3.5 plus 230.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm doubling down on hate on North Carolina hate.
And Maryland over 5.5.
If it was 2.5, Ramona, and they gave me plus 500, I'd probably take that too.
Are you through?
I am now, yeah.
Maryland over 5.5 plus 105 and over 6.5 plus 220.
Oh, so another double up. Two plays on Maryland.
Yeah.
Two plays on Malik Washington. Oh, by the way, your humble road race servant told you months ago in our quarterback rankings about Malik Washington and then singled him out months ago with three guys who I said all have a chance to be future round one NFL draft picks: Malik Washington, Ethan Grunkemeyer, and Drake Lindsey. Yesterday on social media, I see Herb Street comes out with this five surprising quarterbacks, and Malik Washington's on the list. You're welcome. Go ahead.
Okay, now for your spread picks.
Okay, so that's it for
those. Yes, are you ready for your spread
no.
picks?
No, we're going to move. We're going to move back to the win totals, and these are going to be all the new additions.
Oh, now I have two matchup DraftKings win total matchups.
Oh, well, you got to say that too. Yeah.
Okay, one is Clemson plus half.
Yeah, Clemson plus half
versus Alabama.
Yes. So Clemson plus a half a win against Alabama. This is DraftKings win total matchups. You can find them there. I think I made two plays. I did make two plays in that regard.
Yeah.
So I am taking Clemson plus a half win against Alabama. So because I think Alabama is like 7-5 team. So all I need is Clemson to get that 7.5. I won't even need that. I wouldn't even need that if Alabama's 7-5.
Okay, and the other one?
Seven would win. Seven be a winner-winner chicken dinner. Winner-winner surf and turf dinner. I just upgraded.
The second one is Colorado half minus 120 versus North Carolina.
Yeah, anybody versus North Carolina. That's my motto. And plus, I think Colorado has great receiving talent. They brought in two transfers who I think are going to be terrific for them, mainly Scudero. I don't know why Scudero is playing at Colorado. I don't know why, like, Alabama didn't go get Scudero or somebody didn't go get Scudero. They will regret not going after him, because that guy is going to kill it at Colorado if they have any sort of quarterback plan. All right, so those are two additional. Those are win total matchups, and the only place I saw them were DraftKings. They might be available somewhere else, but we got those off DraftKings, and they're still there, and their numbers are still the same. So you could still, you can still get those. All right, we're gonna take a break here. When we get back, I have, oh man, I probably have 12, 13 more win total plays for you. So we are loading you up today. So get the crayons out, degenerates. Let's friggin' go.
The countdown is on. 15 days until Clemson Tiger football, presented by Ingles. Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
Looks left side, comes back right. We're going down the middle looking for more.
The Roar. Game to game. And conference to conference. We are
Little League pitcher who closed out the victory. Well. He's being interviewed by this woman, and she's mocking little Johnny there, saying, look at him. She's saying, look at him. The only thing he's thinking is, you're pretty.
You're pretty.
Yeah, and she goes, she must have said that like 10 times. I said, yeah, you know, she said, look, she said, this woman can't wait to get away from this kid.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of Evan O'Dorney, the spelling bee kid. Now, we did a little takeoff on this at the end, so I don't know exactly what this clip is, but Ramona said, can we play it? I said, yeah, let's play it. I said, this takes you back. This is like 10 years, believe it or not.
Yeah, 10 years.
It's like 10 years ago when Evan O'Dorney, the biggest, littlest brat that ever existed in the history of spelling bees, did this.
Well, here he is, America's newest letterman, beating 285 other spellers to win it all. Evan Dorney. Evan, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Did you say my name wrong? My name is Evan O'Dorney.
Evan O'Dorney, I am sorry if I said it wrong. Were you surprised that you won?
Not really.
And when you say we, you're speaking about your mother, right? You're homeschooled.
Yeah.
What is that like? Do you like getting homeschooled, or would you rather go to school, just a public school with some other kids?
No, I like being homeschooled.
What did your mom say when you finally won?
Well, I don't know what my mom said. You better ask my mom if you want the answer to that question.
God. All right, let me ask your mom. You're making this tough for me today, Evan. Well, here's one thing I hope I'm right about. You like to eat apparently a Subway tuna fish sub before every competition. You didn't get to do that yesterday?
No.
Why not?
I'm not sure. We just, well, they had a special dinner before the beef.
I got you. So you didn't get a chance to eat your brain food. Can I ask you about whether or not you can spell this word that I'm about to give you right now? Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Scombridae. It's a noun. Marine food fishes like mackerels. Perhaps some of the things that are in a tuna sub. Can you spell it for me?
Well, let me make sure I'm saying it right. Scombridae?
Scombridae.
Scombridae.
Yes.
So it's plural?
Yes.
Scombridae. Scombridae. It's French?
I don't know that part. It's the basically, it's a family of fishes that tuna is a part of. Unless I'm saying it wrong, like your last name. I hope not. Scombridae. You want to just give it a try?
Yeah, if you're not saying it right, I'll probably not spell it right. Wait a minute. But I can't spell it without the language. Is it Latin?
They're telling me it's Latin.
Okay. Scombridae.
You got it right. There it is. Yes or no? Oh, you added an extra E. I'm sorry, but you know what? That was pretty darn good.
And you did you say scombridae or scombridae?
Scombridae.
Scombridae?
Yes. You want to try one more time?
Are you saying it's S-C-O-M-B-R-I-D-A-E?
Ding, ding, ding. That's it. You got it. So not only did you win the most important one, the one that gave you the cash, you won the Little American Morning one as well. But really,
it's because I couldn't hear you. I thought you were saying scombridae.
I got you.
That's why I put the E.
I needed to pronounce it better. But you know what? You're a champ, and congratulations. Hope you're enjoying the victory lap, Evan. Oh, Dorney. I'll get it right from now on. See you later.
Okay.
Evan O'Dorney, a man of few words, but when he utters them, he spells them correctly.
Scombridae? Are you saying Scombridae? I can't hear you. Are you saying Scombridae? I don't know what you're saying. Is it Scombridae? You're going to have to pronounce it better. Is it Scombridae? Hey, listen, you little bastard, just spell it.
Did I really say that, Ramona?
Yeah.
I mean,
could he have been more annoying?
More of a brat than
everything she said.
Oh, right. Right. This woman was doomed from the start. She had absolutely no chance right from the start. I mean, the first thing she did is she mispronounced his name.
Yeah.
And he didn't like that. And then, you don't like that right off the start.
No.
And you know, and she's like, well, what did your mom say? And he's like,
oh, that.
He's like, huh? He's like, I don't know what my mom said.
I know.
Ask her if you want to know what she said.
I mean, and then he didn't eat that food. She was trying to get him to talk,
right,
and he didn't even eat that food.
Not one single thing she said, not one single thing worked.
I bet she was mad at the end of that.
I bet she
was like, I am never doing that again.
Yeah, trust me, she went off air, and she lit people on fire for setting that whole thing up. And said, it's, you know, I always say this, Ramona. When I put people on air to interview them, I like to hear them first somewhere else. I want them to. I want somebody else to be the guinea pig. I don't want to be the first one. I want to know, can they conduct themselves on air? Are they entertaining? Can they speak the language? You know what they're like on air before I put them on air. This woman was operating without a net. She had no clue what she was getting into with this brat, you know, absolutely no clue. So, yeah, I mean.
All right. He's 32.
Evan O'Dorney is 32 now?
He's living in Seattle, Washington.
Okay, that's not a surprise.
It says he's a mathematician.
A mathematician in Seattle.
Yes.
Yeah.
He is a postdoctoral associate at Carnegie Mellon University.
Okay, that's in Pittsburgh.
His specialization is number theory.
Okay.
Is that even worth it?
I mean,
I understand they're really, really smart, but what practicality do you get out of that?
Yeah.
I need to know.
I have a friend who went to Carnegie Mellon. Carnegie Mellon is a tremendous institution. My friend is running some major company. He's the CEO of some major company. So Evan O'Dorney went to Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh, but now he's in Seattle, Washington. To say who he works for or what his job title is other than mathematician?
I don't see that here. Hmm. He went to Harvard, Princeton, and Churchill College also.
Oh, he went to Harvard and Princeton as well?
Yeah.
So he's carried his Bratwurst on. Harvard, yeah, can you imagine this kid today? Can you just imagine? I mean, he was a brat at 12.
Yeah.
Since then, he's going to Carnegie Mellon, Harvard, and Princeton. What do you think he is now? You talk about an insufferable twit. I mean, that's what he's got to be now, because he was that when he was 12. I mean, he was impossible at 12.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you imagine working with Evan O'Dorney?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It doesn't say where he's working, huh? Is he an out-of-work Harvard, Princeton, and Carnegie Mellon mathematician?
Yeah, he's got a lot of awards.
Oh, does he? Like what? I mean, other than spelling bees?
Oh, it went to commercial.
It what?
It went to commercial. I'll find the list.
Okay, so he's got a list of what, academia awards?
Yeah.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me, but I still want to know if he's employed or if he's just, is he a perpetual student? You named a fourth institution, didn't you? You said Harvard, Princeton, Carnegie Mellon, and there was another.
Where he works. I forget where it said. Hang on.
No. You get four institutions of learning. I don't know what the. I think I chose to ignore the fourth one at the time. But you said I did note, duly noted, were Harvard, Princeton, and Carnegie Mellon.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he may be the only person I've ever heard of who's going to Carnegie Mellon, Harvard, and Princeton.
Says he's married.
I'm not.
I'm sorry, but I'm not, find that really shocking.
Yeah, I'm not. You know, I'm just not even going to guess. I'm not. Probably somebody just like him. Can you imagine the conversations?
I would think. Yeah, I would think. Let's see. Oh my God.
Do you think it's even smart. Possible to have a conversation?
Not with me. I'd be bored.
But it would go just like that. Just like the interview did. You know what I'm saying? Like they both just constantly try and talk over the other.
Oh, and say, no, right. This is the right. Universe was created here.
a little bedtime conversation about string theory.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Good night.
little AI conversation.
Yeah,
because he must work in that field. He's got to work in.
Because he's a mathematician.
Yeah, he must work in the AI artificial intelligence field. I would think. I'm just playing along at home with Harvard, Princeton, and Carnegie Mellon.
He at one time worked at Notre Dame.
Oh, and he worked at Notre Dame. Yeah. So now we're at Harvard, Princeton, Notre Dame, and Carnegie Mellon.
Because of his number theory.
Because of his number theory. What is his number theory?
It says number theory. Maybe Wikipedia is like, huh? Okay.
All right. So, yeah, maybe. But he's in Seattle now.
That's what it says, yeah.
Well, maybe he's trying to...
He's got a PhD.
Of course he does.
In mathematics.
Yeah. What you said he has a list of accolades or awards or something. What's?
Yeah, there's a bunch.
Like?
I don't know. I can't find the list.
Okay. All right. Well, in any case, Evan O'Dorney now all grown up and somebody else's problem other than that woman's. I guess his wife's now and vice versa.
Absolutely.
You wonder, Ramona, when they got to the part about, do you take this woman to be your lawful?
Did you say woman?
Right.
We haven't gotten that far yet.
Right. I'm wondering whether it took about 2 hours just to clear that line.
Yeah. Now, is this a lifelong thing?
Right.
Am I going to want a divorce?
Right. There had to be a 2-hour debate right there about all of the technicalities of this potential union before they ever got to the actual union. The priest or the individual who married them, the justice of whatever, they probably quit long before this ceremony ended.
I did.
All right, we'll be back.
The Roar's College Football Kickoff Show is back. Join host Scott Reimer and all your Roar favorites at the Southern Weaving Food Hall, August 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. Join us at 210 Fern Street right here in Easley. The Roar, the Upstate Sports Authority.
Hey, let me tell you about my friends at Yoder's. Established in 1986 by the Yoder family, this family-owned business is based in Fairplay, South Carolina, with the mission to be the most helpful building supply in the region. Mission accomplished. Yoder's offers a spacious showroom, knowledgeable and friendly staff, extensive selection of high-quality product lines. You've heard all the testimonials about Yoder's, about how enormous it is, how incredibly helpful these people are. It's just, they're the absolute best, and everybody knows it. The day they came on with me, I must have had 10 texts from people saying, we love Yoder's. The company caters to professional contractors, ensuring access to top-tier materials for various building needs. Look, they're your partner on all of your professional building ventures. Yoder's is your partner in all of that. It's a great marriage. Their departments include building materials, lumber, roofing, siding, windows, doors, masonry, hardware, tools, so much more. Engineered wood and truss manufacturing plant, installed services, cabinets, stone, garage doors. Customers are encouraged to visit the Yoder's showroom to explore options for the next building project. The staff is more than ready to assist with personalized service and expert advice. 500 East Fairplay Boulevard, Fairplay, South Carolina. The phone number is 864. Just exploded again. Texter writes, oh my God, well, I just pissed myself. I think that's in response to my my imitation, and then shut up and spell it, you little bastard. I mean, I just can't imagine being that woman. I would love to have seen the aftermath of that run. I really would. I would just absolutely have loved to have seen it. All of these texts are just absolutely unbelievable. Yep. Yeah, I don't know what that means. Texter said that's Dr. O'Dorney, Walt. yeah, it's a fact. Texter said,
did you leave my title off?
Texter said, all those degrees, and he probably can't even define what a woman is. Yeah, I'm sure that's true, too. I'm sure that is true. Clemson Brad said, he sounded like the most Seattle thing I've ever heard. That might be. Mr. Anna Fender says, that dude went to as many schools as CD. That's right. He went to, and Notre Dame was one of them. Like CD. How about that? Jason in Columbia, and then Trey on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line. Jason, good to have you, Jason.
All right, so I'm blaming you guys. You sent me down this rabbit hole. I mean, this is just, to me, this is fascinating stuff. Okay, so I found
you, Jason, you're so easy. It's so easy to send you down rabbit holes.
It is. I have an inquisitive mind. I just don't have the intelligence from people like Evan O'Dorney. Yeah. I just don't have the intelligence to go with it. I'm just curious. But so I found the most recent information. So he's at Carnegie Mellon now.
Oh, okay.
Teaching. He was born in Seattle, but then he moved to the Bay Area. And what put him on the map originally is he solved, when he was like 14, a math problem that Stanford professors could not solve. That's what put him on the map. And then his track, man, is insane. So he graduates from Harvard summa cum laude, then he goes to Cambridge University on a Churchill fellowship. Then he gets a doctorate in mathematics at Princeton, followed by the 2-year postdoctorate.
Ramona,
Notre Dame.
I'm not sure Jason understands the spirit of what we just did.
He's in the middle of his 3-year postdoctorate.
Jason's laying out the argument like for the defense. It's too late for that. Yeah. That all went away at 12.
Well, yeah. But
CD
but
just wrote and said, dang, I caught a stray.
So it says like he's a number theorist and he'll probably be like a professor, but he's working on like scientific applications.
Yeah.
So here's my thing with, I know it's like we say, well, is this practical? I don't care. When you got geniuses at this level, what's going to happen is it's going to be somebody like this who finds up like how do we do wormholes to get from one universe to the other, you know what I mean, one part of the universe to the other?
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to be sitting around thinking about quote-unquote practical things to do. No. He's going to be thinking about huge, big picture things.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit like Elon. I mean, Elon's sitting around thinking about, how am I going to get to Mars?
Yeah.
You know, he went from, you know, Elon went from PayPal, which is 100% practical, to I want to go to Mars, you know? So, I mean, he's, it's like yeah. Dabo says, you got to have extravagant dreams.
Yeah.
So anyway, but I do remember
Mike responded to Jason by writing, Jason, he's a 40-year-old married virgin. see, Jason did go down a wormhole, but he's attempting to ruin the entire spirit of what we just did, Ramona, all of this time.
I figured you'd like him too. He's talking about his spirituality and how he believes in God and stuff.
Yeah, we don't care about any of that, Jason. That is not the.
He believes that God leads him to math.
You need to go down the rabbit hole of the concept.
Should I start talking about
Carolina? Of the greater good. Yes, of the greater good.
Yeah, we're talking about when he was a brat.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
And we suspect he is still the king of the brats, Jason. That's what we suspect.
Yeah, he might be. Yeah. But anyway, he's definitely a genius.
Yeah, we didn't doubt his genius. I mean, we doubted everything else.
I thought he sounds autistic. You know what I mean? Like, he almost sounds autistic, but I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, there's a fine line between genius and insanity, as Walt and Ramona well know from dealing with me.
Yeah.
So,
you know, Ramona, we've done this bit a number of times because it just never ends whenever we do it. And this is the first time we've ever had somebody actually go look up a defense of Evan O'Dorney.
You know, I'm well known for my loving heart, my loving nature.
Oh, yeah.
I never talk trash. Yes, I'm never rude to anybody.
Right. Demonstrated by your South Carolina friendship. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, listen, I wanted to ask you some big picture college football things, regarding Clemson, and I meant to do it the other day, and I just lost the plot. Shocking. But, you know, you mentioned something to me, you said something the other day that resonated. You were actually talking about Major League Baseball. I think when you were talking about our guy who ditched his girlfriend at the table? But you said that the Major League Baseball might not like a Brewers White Sox matchup, but you think it would be a great statement for the game that you don't have to do it the Dodgers way.
Right.
And so my thing is, talk me off the ledge here as a Clemson fan, because I'm going into this LSU game and I kind of agree with you. The only thing that serves in our favor possibly is that LSU won't have time to gel in the first game, obviously, like they will later in the season. But I don't know if you saw the tweet I sent you, but they just got another transfer guy who's like a fifth or sixth year player from Notre Dame who's going to be a defensive end for them. They might get that guy back from the Tampa Bay Bucks. And, you know, my whole thing, Walt, is just like, at some point, I love Dabo, I love Clemson, and I try to be glass half full, but I mean, the direction this sport is going, Why should I have any expectations that we're ever going to be able to compete yearly with teams like LSU that can throw $40 million, $45 million, Ohio State, at their roster and treat it like a glorified NFL minor league? I mean, can we send the Joker in? I'm ready for the Joker. We can send him to Washington, D.C. first, and then send him to wherever the NCAA is, Indianapolis, and just burn it all down. I mean, do you get where I'm coming from?
Well,
help me off the ledge here.
Well, I mean, the first thing I would say is, you know, we seem to be getting closer to government intervention. Now, when exactly it happens, I don't know. But I think that would set some guardrails and would limit a lot of this discussion. So, and in terms of, you know, this pool of players, whatever that pool of players is now, that as a result of the most recent decision by a loony judge, is that this is a one-off thing. This is not going to be a continuous thing every year. This is related to 2022, and the NCAA's lack of addressing that in their in their initial mandate. And I think they knew full well that this would be legally challenged and maybe even had expectations that this would hasten the congressional intervention. So, I mean, I hate to give the NCAA credit thinking that maybe they're intelligent enough to actually look ahead for once and with Baker and company and perhaps anticipated what these decisions would be and believe that it might also help spearhead the congressional intervention. So I don't know whether that's the case or not. I don't know if that's giving the NCAA too much credit when they've never proven worthy of it before. But regardless, the answer, I'm not too concerned about this particular element because I think it relates strictly to this time period, this year. Once we go past this, I think we're done with that, and then we move forward into whatever comes next. Now, it's the whatever comes next part. See, so I wouldn't get too caught up in LSU adding players right now. I know your view is that it impacts this game. Obviously, this shouldn't happen. And maybe it does, but in terms of impacting the future, I don't think it impacts the future in any way. I think this is a one-off kind of deal. And then I hope that we get government intervention sooner rather than later, and we can set some guardrails and maybe start to even this playing field up a little bit. But, you know, hey, listen, the Dodgers have spent more money than anyone in the history of humanity, and right now they sort of look like a train wreck. And maybe they get healthy, maybe they don't, maybe they come on and win it again. But, you know, look, they should have lost to Toronto last year. Toronto had them beaten and failed. So I think there's always hope. I mean, you know, Jason, maybe the best proof of that is that Indiana won the national title. Now, is it the Indiana of the past? No, this Indiana had money, but they didn't have the kind of money that you're talking about with these other institutions.
Yeah, I just, you know, to me, it dovetails with the conversation you were having this week about, you know, how Spurrier said, well, yeah, Nick Saban can win at Alabama, but go somewhere else, you know, like Duke. And I just don't want to see that discrepancy continue to grow. That's my worry with these salary caps for or non-salary caps for collegiate football teams, because at some point it just, in my mind, becomes insurmountable.
Well, you know, I don't know if college football quite works that way. I mean, if you have certain ingredients, I think you can always compete. I mean, you know, Bill Snyder damn near won a national championship at Kansas State, and he had nothing. And he was going against people who were cheating and spending a boatload of money and all that stuff, and he had nothing. I mean, he coached in a state that only produced five major D1A players a year, and they all went to Oklahoma and Texas, and he beat their brains in anyway. So it can be done. But I think that in regard to the things that you're specifically saying, I would say stay patient a little bit longer, because I think at some point we're going to get some congressional resolution and when people sign on to it.
I know somebody who can figure this whole thing out, Walt. His name is Evan O'Durney. I'm going to go call him right now and see if he can figure this out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is something he can't figure out. This is not regular human stuff, not really his category, Jason. Numbers.
We're going to do a wormhole to a better
and
universe.
And a go, Jason.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHD-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar. We got your summer covered.
Summer sports station.
105.5 and 97.5. The Roar.
On September 2nd, DraftKings Game Day arrives with massive deals, exclusive deals, and an all-day celebration built for sports fans. All roads lead to Game Day. The DraftKings Sports app is now live in all 50 states. That means South Carolina, from Texas.